If you'll turn in your Bibles, once again, to Psalms chapter 92, verses 12 through 15, you'll find the text upon which this sermon is designed, or around which this sermon is designed. And if you will notice, if you have received a bulletin, that there is an article from Author Unknown for Faithful Christians, in which there is a heartfelt thank you addressed to those who are faithful Christians. And that is the subject of this particular sermon, entitled Still on Track. In our text, we find Psalms 92, verses 12, beginning, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." As we read this particular passage, a couple of things need to be pointed out: that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. He says in verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. There is so much that we can learn from our senior saints and their faithfulness and their dedication. For those long-term saints or long-time saints that are still on track. That's not to say that everyone who has been a Christian for any number of years is always necessarily still on track. We have known of some folks who have been members of the Lord's church for a number of years and for whatever reason have come off of the track. But there is much that we can learn from those who are still on track. In that 92nd Psalm, the righteous are portrayed as healthy trees. I know for a fact when there's a tree and it's unhealthy and it's in danger of falling on something, that we usually get a saw and we cut it off. But he says that these will grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon, and they shall bear fruit in old age. Though they be old, they shall still be fresh and flourishing. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, we are told how we can stay on track, and how some refused and no longer stayed on track. This, of course, was to the house of Israel. And through Jeremiah, he said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." The truth of the matter is that there are those who, for whatever reason, will refuse to stay on track. But we want to address those who do stay on track today. Let me ask you a question. How important is it to remain faithful until death? It's a good question. It's a valid question. Because it is easy to begin the race, but hard to continue it. To complete it throughout its entirety. The whole journey. As one starts in obedience and lives his life, hopefully learning from the Word of God, continually growing and being nurtured by the Word of God, so that they remain strong and vibrant and produce fruits. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, that was posed to those of the church of Smyrna, as the letter was written to those seven churches. They were told in verse 10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. There is no doubt that as we walk our Christian lives, as we continue on, having been placed upon the track when we were obedient unto God, that it's not going to be easy. He said to them, be thou faithful until death, and I will give thee a crown of life." How many times have we read over that particular passage? What is being said here is just as diligently expressed as what is not being said. What is not being said is if you do not remain faithful, you will not receive the crown of life. Again, there's much that can be learned from long-time saints. Sometimes these folks, when they become older, are ignored a little bit because they are deemed to be old-fashioned. Sometimes they're deemed to be legalistic because they want to hold to the Word of God. Sometimes they're looked at as if they are antiquated or just used up. That's not the right attitude to have toward those who are still on track. We should appreciate them. In fact, when we look at them and we say, well, they're not doing as much as some other people, perhaps they're doing what they can. Not all can do everything. And the truth of the matter is, and I'm realizing this a little more as I go along, that as we get older, there are some things that we used to do that we can't still do. Look at Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. We'll have a situation in which there was someone who could not do perhaps everything that she wanted to do, but was able to do that which she could do. And for that, she was praised. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 beginning. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how that they might take him by craft and put him to death. Of course, this is speaking of Jesus. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Again, she probably wasn't able to do some of the things that she wanted to do. Didn't see where she would have opportunity to do so, but she did what she could. She made the effort. Let's notice some applications this morning about those who have shown consistent faith and consistent service for many years. First thing that we want to point out is the fact that they have a positive attitude and demeanor. Isn't it easy to go along with what is right and do what is right and help what is right when others who are involved in what is right have a good attitude? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, we're told not to be weary in well-doing. But there's also a reward that's spoken of here. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians churches, as he was guided by the Spirit, he said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Notice the last phrase. If we faint not. We've got to stay on track. We've got to keep going. These long-term saints are often consistent examples of faith. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to remain faithful. It's not easy to continue when things are tough. In Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we'll see what one who is a consistent example of faith would be involving themselves in. And also it talks about the aged men and talks about the aged women. Those who are still on track, who began that trek to heaven years ago and have remained faithful. It says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. These things which were put before them then, showing that they were consistent examples of faith, endeavoring to serve God with a positive attitude, faithful all the way. The one thing that brings about our noticing their consistent faith is their remarkable attendance. You know, there are folks that are here when they can, and that's good. We know that when they can be here, they will be here. But there are other folks who are not here when they can be here, and that's not good. And it's been my experience that attendance is a symptom of something else. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, we'll see that in this letter, there were those who were forsaking the assembly. Those who are still on track will not forsake the assembly. They'll be here. Why? Because the Word of God is going to be proclaimed. The Word of God is going to be discussed. We're going to have fellowship with our brethren. We're going to feel good about serving God. Hebrews 10, verse 24 beginning. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We need to be here. It's not just so we can boast of a number on the board. It's so that you can stay on track. These people who have a positive attitude and demeanor, who are consistent examples of faith, who have remarkable attendance and are still in track, are so because they are growing spiritually. You know, when we came into this world, we were rather small. But we began to grow and develop. And we think as adults that we don't grow. The truth of the matter is we don't get higher. We get, in my case, rounder or broader. We still continue to grow. The same thing should be spiritually. When we stop growing physically, we die. When you say, well, you know, I've been the same size forever. I was appalled one time when I was working in the basement. My wife came downstairs in her wedding dress. She still could get in it. What appalled me was not that she could get in the dress, but I remembered the suit that I gave away many years ago, which in no way, shape, form, or fashion could be worn by me because I had outgrown it. And growth is a division of cells within the body. And it continues on. And friends, when that division of cells within the body stops, you die. But when we stop growing spiritually, we die. Maybe not physically, maybe not so that you can notice immediately and that sort of thing, but we will die. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, these brethren to whom this letter was written and was recorded for us so that we might also have it for all prosperity, we are told how we are to conduct ourselves. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast, or be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We've got to continue to grow spiritually, to draw closer to God, to His Word, to helping other people, so that all of us remain on track as we travel toward heaven. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul again writes, is guided by the Spirit, and tells them about this growth. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I know for a fact that if you don't put food into this physical body, it will not continue to grow. I also know for a fact that if you do not feed that spiritual self, it will not continue to grow. Let's see to it that our inward man is renewed day by day. Let's stay on track. Those who are consistent examples of faith, those who have this remarkable attendance, those who are still growing spiritually because they have the right attitude and the right demeanor, they're still on track. They have a real concern for the future. You know, you look at the news nowadays and you say, what's this world coming to? You hear people talk and you say, what's this world coming to? We have a concern for the future. We have a concern for the future of our world. It's scary out there. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, we're told that we're not so much to worry about the world or to be conformed to the world, but that we are to be transformed. He says, and be ye not, or be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our mind is to be renewed as we put into it that spiritual food which will cause us to grow and to continue, whereby we might stay on track. These faithful have a real concern for the future of the church. I heard a prediction in the late 70s about the condition of the church at the turn of the century. And I said, there's no way. Lo and behold, it happened. It's because someone who was still on track realized that there were those who were not going to stay on track. There were those who did not know how to conduct themselves in the house of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we see that it is still alarming when we contemplate the future of the body of Christ here on the earth. Paul says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. These folks are concerned about the future of both, and well they should be. They're concerned about the extreme depravity of the world. We are told in God's word not to love the world. As you turn to 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, we are told that we're not only not to love the world, but not to love the things of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Does that sound like one who is on track? Those who love the world, the things of the world, who are involved in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Right here it tells us they are not of the Father. But they're also concerned about the advanced apostasy within the church. And I say that because it's very real. There are congregations that are off the track. Well, thanks be to God that there are those who are on track. Those who are willing to stand to earnestly contend for the faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, we'll see the admonition to Timothy as Paul was writing to him, again, guided by the Spirit. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. There are those who will not stand and proclaim the truth for fear of losing their job. There are those who will not stand and proclaim the truth because it's not popular. There are those who will not stand and proclaim the truth for whatever reason. That's not what he told Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season. Notice the prediction that was given here in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's a fact that we all ought to address. And that fact is that none of us are getting out of this alive. What I'm saying is, those who are young, who are listening to this and thinking, well, he's not talking to me, hopefully one of these days we'll be old people. And hopefully, as we've gone through this life, we'll be old people that are still on track. Time stands still for no man, unless you have a broken clock like we do. But it still does not stand still. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the question is asked, for what is your life? And the description is made so that we might understand it is brief. It is fleeting. And we think, well, you know, I'm only 30 years old. Having seen 30 a few years ago, looking back, I realize that it's not that long. It doesn't take that long to get from 30 to where I am now. And perhaps it won't take that long for me to go from where I am now to when I leave this life. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 39, verses 4 and 5, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. And I bring this to your attention while we're talking about staying on track, or those who are still in track, because there is futility in living for the present. A lot of people want to live this life for today. You know, today is the only day that you can live today. But you need to take thought about the future. And don't totally forget the past. It's in the past. It's there so that we might be reminded. But you can't live the past. You can't live in the past. Nor can you live in the future. But there's also futility in living for the present. In Job chapter 9, verses 25 through 26, Job reminds us of this as he was guided by the Spirit. He says, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Time is fleeting. He also said in Job 14, verses 1 and 2, a passage that's much more familiar to us, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Stop and think about all those people that you have known that began their life near the time that you began yours and are no longer with us. Life indeed is fleeting. But we're reminded in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 how we ought to address this situation so that we might stay on track, so that we might still be on track. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. This is brought to our attention so that we know that there is importance in training. We can't afford to let our children be in a situation where we say, you know, they'll figure it out when they become adults. I've done my job. I got them from birth to 18. And they're on their own. No, they're not. We are here to help them, to comfort them, to guide them. We must help them. There's importance in training. We're told this in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We are to guide our children because they are the adults of tomorrow. We want to get them so where they understand how that they are to be on track. But we want them to stay on track. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, we'll see a commendation to Timothy. Actually, it was to Timothy's mother and grandmother. When he says, and that thou from a child hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He began as a child learning the scriptures so that he might know. So when the temptation comes, when the trials are all about, when the tribulation seems to be unbearable, we can stay on track. Sometimes you think, well, you know, when I get older, I'll be wiser. Is that always the case? Does wisdom necessarily come with age? I remind you to look at Eli. And we know who Eli was, and he had some sons, and he put his sons in positions in which they should not be in. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 27, beginning, we find Eli's situation. And there came a man of God to Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear into the house of thy father when they were in Egypt and in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? God had provided for Eli because he was a priest. He says, wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in mine habitation. and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said, and I said indeed, that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me. Why? Because Eli didn't stay on track. For them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thine arm, and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from thine altar shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thy heart, and the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And verse 34 concludes with saying, and this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day shall they die, both of them. Eli didn't stay on track, and it cost him. Not only did it cost him, it cost future generations. When we have those who are still on track, that are taught their children, that are teaching their grandchildren, it affects future generations. We must ask ourselves, what if in a particular congregation our children grow up, become adults, and we want them to do that, but then they leave the church? What's going to happen? Eventually, the congregation will cease to exist unless some new folks move in, because we're going to get older. And we may very well stay on track, but who's going to carry it forward? Perhaps we need an example from God's Word as we begin to close, so that we might make application to this. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. We'll see that Jesus compares two types of people. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, for it was founded upon a rock. We know from childhood and the little song that is sung about the wise man and the rock, about the foolish man building his house on the sand, that God was pleased with those who stayed on track, those who built their house upon a rock. He says in verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What Jesus was saying was that trials and tribulation is going to come upon everyone, but those that are founded upon the rock will stand. They'll stay on track. In John chapter 13 and verse 17, Jesus points out another thing whereby we might be happy. He said, if ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. What are we to do? We're to get on track, and then we are to stay on track. But we can't stay on track unless we get on track. So how then is one to get out of the world and on the track that leads to heaven? Well, it's through obedience of the gospel. The Bible is very clear in its direction as to how one is to be obedient unto God. We are told in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that they must hear the word of God. And that even makes sense from our standpoint. How are people going to know what to do if they're not told? Romans 10, 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which leads us to belief or faith. One must believe or have faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, for therein is the foundation of Christianity. In John 8:24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. We also know, according to Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, that we are to repent. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then we are to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how we head forward the track. But how are we placed upon that track? We're to be baptized into Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's when they were placed firmly upon that track. But then it is up to them, as we have already read, I'm going to read again, to live faithfully until death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Do you want a crown of life? Get on the track. Do you continue to want a crown of life? Stay on track. Perhaps this morning, there are those who do not know, or up until this time, did not know what they must do in order to be a child of God. You do now know. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ. But also, perhaps there are those here who have allowed sin to enter into their lives. Understand that sin is that which separates us from God. If we have sin in our lives and we're not repentant of that sin, we will be off track. We will suffer for eternity. But God has a plan for that too. If you are a child of God and have fallen by the wayside, you're off the track, you can get back on the track today. So repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. It's up to you. You have control of your destiny. If you need to respond, won't you do so as we together we stand and sing the selected song.